Good morning. And I actually have a kingdom opportunity too. Next Sunday is when the college students, they take over our service. Be praying now. So yeah, so they're going to take over. It's really awesome. So Hudson, and I see Hudson, would you raise your hand? So Hudson's going to be bringing the word next week. We're going to take a little break from our current series, and he's doing a one-off, and he's going to get us into the Gospel of Matthew. It's going to be awesome. So be praying for Hudson as he finishes up his preparation. But we could actually use a little more help from the students to help do some just serving in various capacities. So if you're going to be around and you're interested in serving next weekend, you're a college student, would you see me after the service right down here? That'd be great. It won't take very long. That'll be fun, won't it? College Sunday. It's great. It's so good. I think we're going to put up here some questions. We're not going to ask the questions yet, but I want you to see the questions that we're going to be responding to. What's one way God has increased your understanding of his love in the That's a Good Question series? That's the series that we're in right now. What have you been learning or been reminded of related to the work of the Holy Spirit, and how has God encouraged you through today's message? So these are three questions that you'll have an opportunity to respond to after my message. And I've just been aware of the fact that there's been a lot of content given during this series. And as I was praying for this Sunday, I just felt it would be really nice if we could just pause a little bit and see kind of how God is speaking, right, to us, and then to be able to share that with one another. So that's the other reason why this microphone is down here, is after I'm finished with my message, I'll invite people up to respond just to one of those questions. And also, there's a time limit on how much time you have to share. So I'll be clear about that when we get there. Is that good? So those are the three questions, and we'll put those up at the end also. It's great being with you guys. Last week I was away last weekend, but it's just great being here. John did a great job with the message last week. So thank you, John, for preaching last week. So we only get one life here on this earth. Some of you might wish for more. That might be nice. There's a fellow, D.H. Lawrence. He's an English novelist. He once said that if we could only have two lives, the first one in which to make our mistakes, and the second one in which to profit by them. Wouldn't that be nice? That'd be so nice. Back toward the end of the COVID pandemic, I played in a band that performed a concert in Ives Park during the summer festival. But because of COVID, we couldn't rehearse. And yet, we were on the backside of COVID, and we were allowed to do a concert outside. Now, I am sure that we would have given a great performance had we actually been given the opportunity to rehearse. During one song that we were performing, we made so many mistakes, we all sort of got lost, that the conductor just had to stop mid-song and start over. It was so embarrassing. In life, there are no rehearsals. We only get one chance at it. We're born, and then it's as if we're thrown right on stage. And I think I can speak for all of us. We all make mistakes, don't we? Yeah. Some of these mistakes are more serious and consequential than others. So the question is, with mistakes that we've made in the past, and even given like our current hard reality about our life situation, how can we move forward with the hope of making the most of the rest of our lives? That is this week's question. How can we make the most of the rest of our lives, whether it's measured in decades or days? How can we make the most? The good news is that God loves each one of us. That's great news. And no matter how big your mistakes may have been or may yet be, He still has a great purpose and a plan for the rest of your life. Do you believe it? The Apostle Paul described how we can make the most of the rest of our lives in Romans 12, which is going to be our main text. So if you prefer looking it up in a paper Bible, Romans 12 is where we're going to be. Romans 1 to 11 is all about what God has done for us. And then in Romans 12, Paul says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of all that God has done for you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I'm just going to pray. If you would join me. Holy Spirit, we pray you would come. Teach us. Open up our hearts and our minds to you. Would we not so much pay attention to words that I'm speaking, but to the word that you want to speak to us? Would we be attentive, God, to you? So teach us, encourage us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To make the most of our lives, we're instructed in this verse to avoid ways of thinking and behaving that, though completely acceptable in the society around us, in our world around us, they actually may be hurting us, hurting others, hurting God. And the instruction is, put those things away. The instruction is not to conform to the patterns of this world, as acceptable as they may be. Another translation of this verse puts it this way: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. But fitting in is what most of us prefer to do, I happen to know. Let's be honest, it can be quite difficult to take risks or to stick out, to stand out. There's a story I heard about a young man who was doing his final qualifying exam to become a police officer. The exam, it only had 4 questions on it. The first 3 were relatively easy. Got it done, no time at all. But then he got to question 4 and it stumped him. It went something like this. Suppose you're on patrol on the south side of Syracuse when an explosion occurs in a gas main on a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been created by the explosion and there's an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there's the strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and woman, are clearly injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your police chief, who you happen to know, he is out of the country. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you immediately recognize him as a man who's wanted for armed robbery. Somebody runs out from a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth of the child imminent. Another man is heard crying for help, having been blown into the Onondaga Creek, and he cannot swim. The question is, how and in what order will you respond to this situation? The young man thought for a moment. He picked up his pen and he wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." Christians face this temptation often of taking off our Christian uniform, if you will, and to mingle with the crowd, to do what everybody else is doing around. It could be so much easier, but we can see from this verse and so many others that as Christ followers, we're called to live distinct lives. Chameleons, as many of you know, they're long-tailed lizards that change colors according to their environment. On a yellow plant, the chameleon is yellow. On a brown rock, it's brown. On green moss, it's green. Christians in public schools, colleges and universities, in any number of work environments, know the temptation to be chameleons, to act like Christians when they're around other Christians, but to act very different when the crowd is not very Christ-like. But living this way is really unhealthy because we're not being true to ourselves, we're not being true to others, and most importantly, we're not being true to God. It's a false way of being. So to make the most of the rest of our lives, we're instructed to not conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed. To put it another way, to let God transform you inwardly by making a complete change, not a superficial one. Now, most of us, like me, find change challenging. I don't particularly like change. I like predictability. I like things pretty much staying the same. And this is really evident by my closet. You look at the clothes in my closet, and pretty much they're the same clothes that have been hanging in my closet for the last 20 plus years. I don't particularly like change. I like my comfy clothes and the ones that I've grown accustomed to. Yeah, they do occasionally get washed. But God, he doesn't ask us to leave behind like the good things in our lives. And I am thankful that I still get to wear these old shirts that I've been wearing for a long time. God wants us to leave behind the stuff in our lives that's actually causing pain and separation. Separation from him and separation from others. That is what God is wanting us to see removed from our lives. Because why? Because Jesus wants our lives to be full of his goodness. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life to the full." So I'm going to say it as directly as I know how. If you want the fullness of God's goodness, then get rid of the rubbish. It rhymes and it's direct. If you want to be full of God's goodness in your life, for the rest of your life, then get rid of the rubbish. New Hope Church is a community that's devoted to helping one another become more like Jesus. If you need help throwing out any trash in your life, we're here to help. Because we all have it. We all have it. There's no judgment here. None of us are perfect, but all of us are serious in our pursuit of pursuing the fullness of God's goodness and then sharing it the best we can with others. So if you need help taking out the garbage, we're here to help. We really are here to help. A few verses later in Romans 12, Paul wrote this. He said, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." Love must be sincere. We're talking about sincere love. Which, what is that? Well, in the Greek, there's one word that describes this sincere love, and it's this word, anapokritos. I'm sure it's said much better than that in the original, but anapokritos, and actually a translation best used to describe this word, sincere love, is anti-hypocritical. Anti-hypocritical. So anapokritos. Because true love, the kind of love that we are to receive and then to share, is authentic. God doesn't want any of us pretending to be someone that we aren't, or to be somebody, or to be something that we're not. He's inviting us to come to him and to be with him just as we are. Because we can be real with God, we are to also learn to be real with ourselves and real with others. So if you want to make the most of the rest of your life, let God teach you how to love him and to love others sincerely. That's what God wants for our lives. Yes? Can't argue with that, I don't think, and I hope not. Being a Christian is radical. It's not like just becoming a nice person, like, oh, those Christians, they're always doing nice things. I want to be a Christian. That's, yes, hopefully we are going around doing nice things, but it's so much more than that. It's radical. It's about radical love. Love for God, love for people, love for ourselves, even love for your enemy. And sticking up for people who cannot defend themselves and promoting justice. This is at the heart of the kind of love that God calls us to. God's love is both beautiful and it's powerful. It transforms our lives. And it is ours. He has offered it to each one of us as a gift. And we get to decide what we're going to do with this gift. Are we going to receive it, or are we going to hold on to the rubbish? The Apostle Paul began Romans 12 with the exhortation to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This means that everything about us, everything about us, who we are, what we do, what we have, what we want, everything in our lives and about our lives is placed in his capable and loving hands. And this includes the time that's left in our lives between this moment right now and our final breath. It all belongs to him. And we surrender our lives as living sacrifices to him. Time is the most valuable possession. We might think that money is, but you can always get more money. But you can't get more time. it's limited, and we all need it. It's really probably one of the most valuable possessions, if not the most valuable. When a person chooses to trust Jesus to lead their lives, their priorities begin to change because they gain a new perspective in life. And their priorities accordingly begin to change. It's so easy to get our priorities backwards and mixed up in this crazy life sometimes. It's like the farmer who was looking for a wife, and he put an advertisement in a local paper that read, "Local farmer seeks lady with tractor, with view to companionship and possible marriage. If interested, please reply with a picture of the tractor." Right? It's so easy to get our priorities backwards, right, Conrad? Conrad said, "What's wrong with that advertisement? That sounds good." It's so easy. But when you experience God's love and you begin a relationship with Him, your priorities, they change. They get more in line with His. Your relationship with God becomes your number one priority. Your time with God, you know, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever, your time alone with God, praying, reading His Word, it just becomes so important that you maybe stop doing other things to make space and time to be alone with God. And you love coming to things like this, a church service on a Sunday morning. We could be doing anything. We could be climbing mountains or paddling rivers or be maybe a little cold, but we could be doing anything. But we love gathering together in God's presence with God's people because it's a priority. And we know intuitively that we need this. We may not always want it when that alarm clock goes off, but we know we need it, and that's why we're here. It's a priority. Time is our most valuable possession. It's a gift, and it's been entrusted to us. We only have 168 hours in a given week, and each one is precious. It's a gift, and we are to steward our time. Well, money is like that too. It's also a gift that we get to steward and that we get to give back to God, actually. As we learn that money is something that God entrusts to us, yes, we work for it, yes, we may feel like we earn it, but ultimately we receive it as a good gift from God. And ultimately we say, even what I've earned doesn't ultimately belong to me. It belongs to God, and I want to invest this money in a way that honors Him, right? That honors Him. That helps to provide for my needs and the needs of my family, and also helps to provide for the needs of others. And we learn that money isn't to be hoarded. It's not like the more we can make, the better we become. It's actually the more we give away. Because Jesus was the one who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So a priority becomes in life to this priority of generosity, of rather than being like, it's mine, we sort of realize that it's not mine, it's God's. And a priority of generosity begins to emerge. So do you want to make the most of the rest of your life? Here's a tip. Give to others generously and as willingly as you possibly can for the rest of your life. And you will experience this blessedness that Jesus refers to. Offering your body as a living sacrifice means being wise with what you let your ears hear, what you let your eyes see, what you let come out of your mouth, what you let your hands touch, and what you allow your mind to focus on. Our full devotion to God also influences what we eat and what we drink, or what we don't eat and what we don't drink. And it also influences our pattern of work and our patterns of rest, because we recognize that our bodies also are a gift from God and that we are to steward them well in a way that honors Him. Paul says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The extraordinary paradox is that many people think that, well, if I were to give God full control of my life, then I'm going to lose my freedom. But some of you are already on to the genius of the way in which God has set up this universe. Because we actually discover in St. Augustine, he said it this way. He said that in serving God, there is perfect freedom. In other words, freedom that can't get any better by serving God. This is, in my decades walking with the Lord, this is exactly what I have found. It's counterintuitive, I understand, but it's a reality. You surrender your life to the one who gave you your life, and you experience his freedom, which is remarkable, filled with joy, filled with life. But to offer our lives as a living sacrifice means that there will be a cost. Jesus didn't come to make our lives easy or comfortable. And some of you are like, oh, that explains a lot. Jesus did not come to make our lives easy or comfortable. He came to make them full, is really what it says. Following Jesus will include challenges, always. Challenges that include getting rid of the junk that has been trying to consume your life. In reality, we might know that it's garbage, but to us, right, it's a valuable possession. It's valuable garbage because we've become friends with it. We've known of it for a long, long time. We're used to it. And we don't want to get rid of it. We're afraid of living life without it. Choosing to follow Jesus means choosing to discard the rubbish in our lives for the rest of our lives in increasing measure. Why? So that we can be full of the goodness of God. How are we doing? Doing okay? So why? I'm just going to wrap up with this question. Why? Why is making this sacrifice worth it? And Beverly reminded me of Jim Elliot. Many of you know who Jim Elliot is. I'll just introduce him. He was an American Christian missionary who, alongside four other missionaries, were martyred by a particular native tribe in Ecuador on January 8th, 1956, while he and his team were attempting to reach them with the gospel. Jim and his friends are remembered for their unwavering commitment to sharing their faith despite the known dangers. Why is offering to Jesus our bodies as a living sacrifice worth it? Here's how Jim answered the question. It's probably the quote he's most famous for. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jesus puts it this way, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Jesus laid down his life for us out of love so that we could be free, both now and forevermore. God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a testimony of how much God loves us. We receive abundant and eternal life as a gift through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's God's goodness for our rubbish. And I think, personally, that the exchange is more than fair. How about you? As you present your life to God in full devotion as a living sacrifice, you begin to learn what his desires are for your life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, the text says. God's will for your life is good. He has good things in store for you, for your life. God's will for you is pleasing. It's pleasing. It will be pleasing to you, and it will also be pleasing to others. And God's will for you is perfect. His way is the highway. You can't do better than God. If you want to make the most of the rest of your life, then submit to God's goodness. Submit to his pleasing and submit to his perfect will. Some people, they choose not to seek God's help. And I understand the temptation to not seek God's help in life. But I'm here to say that no one has been designed to live life without God's help. No one. And there's no shame in asking God for help. Our lives are at their best when we're in a relationship with the one who has given us these lives as a gift. As we follow his will throughout our life journey, he is with us every step of the way, and he leads us on these remarkably, extraordinarily adventurous outings. The rest of your life, friends, they could be the best years of your life. No doubt God has great things ahead of you. He loves you. And he's poured his love into your heart by his Holy Spirit. His love, it then, in this inexplicable way, it bubbles over for other people from all walks of life. And as I said earlier, even to the people that are difficult to love for you, suddenly you find yourself loving even them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He fills us with love and with all the other spiritual virtues like joy and peace. He fills us with everything that's good, pleasing, and perfect. And then he sends us out with his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help others to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for their lives. God's love will make all the difference in your life, and you're going to always be better as you allow him to change your life. You are a child of God, full of the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you want to make the most of the rest of your life, receive all that God has today, November 10th, 2024, and then go out and share it this week, because there's a lot of hurting people. A lot of hurting people. A lot of people need exactly what you have been freely given. That's what we get to do, right? In the name of Jesus Christ. So that's my shorter message for you today. So let's put up these questions again. And we have just a couple of minutes for anyone to come on down and to respond to one of these questions. You get to choose which question. And I know that this is difficult. If for some reason you cannot walk down, I will bring the mic to you, so don't let that, just raise your hand, I'll bring the mic to you. But if you can come down, the reason why we're down here is because we do have people that are watching us online, and it's so that they can participate in this part of the service. That's the reason why we're doing this. So there are the three questions. What's one way God's increased your understanding of his love in the last, during this series? What have you been learning or been reminded of related to the work of the Holy Spirit? How's God encouraged you, perhaps, in today's message? Danny, do you want me to bring the mic? I'm going to anyways.
Well, one of the things, I had a sketch About a couple years ago, and do all kinds of things in the Bible. Right now, I'm working on about diversity. And there's many ethnic groups and how we get along with each other. There are problems within those groups. I'm trying to draw a picture of how it, so it evolves in all three questions. I'm not sure I'm in the process of trying to figure things out, but we all have to live with each other, even though we are different, different background, different heritage, different of all kinds of stuff. But we have to get along with each other. And God's trying to put that on picture. And I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to guide me and direct me.
That's great. That's great. Thanks, Dan. Awesome. Somebody else want to try to respond to one of these questions? Andrew?
What struck me was when Glenn talked about taking off her Christian uniform and sort of stepping into the crowd. I didn't mean to, but I ended up in the crowd at work. And there's a person there who is difficult to get along with and came and had a confrontation with me. And it was inappropriate. And I was thinking about, can't believe you did this, blah, blah, blah. And then other people like, yeah, can't believe you did this, blah, blah. And I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, oh, blah, 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 this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, whoops. That's not good. And so I was upset about it. I was upset with myself. And I did the thing you're supposed to do, which was go to the people in charge and say, this thing happened to me. It was not okay. I'm okay. I don't know if any of you have met me, but I am a strong and empowered woman. Sometimes to my detriment, but I am not easily intimidated, but I feared for others in my workplace who might have been intimidated, right? So I was able to stand up and say, this was not okay. This shouldn't be this way. And it caused some repercussions for this person, and this person is now very upset and going about saying things. And I was touched because I didn't talk about it after I had gone to the right people, and I just let it be. And when other people wanted to talk about it, I drew a line because I felt like that was what you should do and how God wanted me to honor this person who is really struggling in their own life. Like, the things that they do come from a place of deep hurt. I know this. And I realized there were three different people in the last 3 weeks as you were talking who have come to me and said, thank you for being the one showing love. And almost to a T, they have said those words, thank you for being the one showing love. So sometimes when we have to put on that Christian uniform and do the right thing, we don't do it because we are afraid. But we don't have to be afraid because we have love. We absolutely have it. Do not ever think that if you say no or you draw lines that you know to be right, that God will not back you up. Mm-hmm. He will. And you might not know it in the moment that it happens. You might feel like, oh, that was very scary. Why did I do that? But in the end, people will know that you did what you had to do because it was the right thing to do, not because you're a jerk or because you just want to make trouble, but because God will pave that way for you. It's not easy. I didn't like doing it. But now there are people who know that it's okay to step up and say, here's a line, and I still love you.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's great. Thanks, Eddie. we have time for at least one more. Mm-hmm. Sarah. Thank you.
This week I was reminded by God how his love is there for all of us. My husband was in a hospital. I will cry I was speaking with a nurse, and she see me and my kids coming and see him, but she was telling me, this man is so blessed because you are here. And the hallways were full of many people. And she was telling us that no one go to see them. So many elderly, they are dying by themselves. Yeah. And how God remind me that we, as a family, we have so much love. Mm. So many people there. But as a church, we have, he put this burning in my heart. There's so many people who are dying alone. Yeah. And they don't have anyone. Sometimes they're afraid to reach out. I don't know what their background in life. But God remind me his love. Even with my daughter turn 12 Friday, and we were busy. We wanna wait for the doctor for give us some results. And I told her, please, we will celebrate when daddy is back home. And she was not very happy. She was sad. I took her to a cafe, and we drink something, and she's still sad. But then my friend from Jordan, she insisted me to go to her house. And I said, no, I'm okay. I have to go to the hospital. And she said, you have to come and bring Naomi. And after half an hour, I said, okay, I'm going, because she was insisting. But through them, God reminded me his love for all of us, even for a child. They have a beautiful food for her. They have a cake, and they celebrate her. Even though my mind wasn't something else, God used them to bring joy to this beautiful little one. We were thinking, okay, you want to celebrate? It's okay, we'll celebrate with Dad when he's back. But God is saying, I love you. I want to show my love to you, and I will use them. So I'm very grateful for what God reminds us, that he's there no matter what, but also remind me that we should be more there for others who don't have anyone. And my prayer is, and I am grateful that he remind me, there's so many people who don't have family. They are alone. And we can be part of the love of Christ to share to them, especially in the need, those who are in a hospital, those who are in hospice, those who are alone. And we are so blessed. We have family in Christ. And right. I'm grateful.
Yeah, awesome. It's great. We're going to have the fellowship hour afterwards. I would just encourage us to share with one another the ways in which God's at work in our lives. Feel free to change the subject if you're talking about the weather or sports or something. Say, that's all exciting. That's great. Hey, can I share with you some things that God's been teaching me? You can change the subject, and feel free to. That's what the fellowship hour is for, is to encourage one another. We can talk about sports another time over coffee or something. Okay, God bless you guys. Let's worship the Lord.